Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's a wonderful song. Amen. I enjoy when the Lord sweeps over my soul. Amen. Could you imagine being in a place? I know that we all depend on the mercies of God. And God's been merciful to all of us. There's no doubt about that. Amen. If he was only going to sweep over our soul because of our righteousness and goodness, we'd all be in trouble. But because of his mercy and his grace, he most definitely sweeps over our soul. I'm really burdened in my spirit about this young man, Zach. I want y'all to come in the altars with me for right now. We're going to pray for this young fellow. You know, it could be your son. Could be your daughter. I thank God that the prayer to be answered tonight isn't dependent upon me in my righteousness or my goodness. But I do know the virtue of the Lord, and I do know the power of his salvation, and I know his healing touch. And I feel the infirmities of a family with a young boy that is being weighed in the balances tonight. And I'm sure that he's there and he sees over to see the report of this other young fella. Same thing, going through the same thing, and he's got all the procedures. And I'm sure that this would be, if the young boy had faith, this would be something that would really discourage his faith. To be seeing, hey, this other boy's got the same thing, and he's dying. And then he gives a report of giving up. But maybe I can ask you if you give up. You know, there's times that, you know, we talk about the faith of God, and we think about people needing faith that God could move for them. And you know, there's times that God moves for many people and they don't even realize what's going on or even know what faith is. And God shows his love and his mercy and his kindness and reaches out. You know, nevertheless, if this young man went off the scene as a young boy, we could set our faith and see this young fella have the number of his days extended. And we can get reports in 4 or 5 years that he's off full blast in the world. You know, and you think, what have we done? I've shared the testimony with you about me going before the Lord for my son when he showed me his death in an automobile accident twice, and I knew it would be promptly. And I know I sound repetitive, but I remind you of these things, and it makes me ponder on how to pray. So many times we think, well, this is the will of God. Do you really know the will of God? The Son of Man sought the will of God at the Garden of Gethsemane, and he said, if this cup could pass from me, but nevertheless let your will be done. And many times, instead of saying, could this cup pass? We pray that the cup would pass. The Son of Man said, but let your will be done. We say, well, how do we pray? Do we pray with faith? Do we pray believing? Do we pray and ask and we have this expectation? Or do we just simply pray, say, well, Lord, let your will be done? Some would say, well, I know that the Lord's will is always going to be done. But that's not according to the Word of God or the Bible. I know that he has his way in many things, but it says it's his will that none perish, not even one. But we know that many people are perishing. So we know that the will of God, what the will of God is, the will of God would be that this young man be healed. That's God's will. There's no doubt in my mind about that. So they say, well, what if he was going to turn and fall away from God? Then what would God's will be done? Well, see, we can go into a lot of situations and scenarios and things like that, but I can pray for sure that it is the Lord's will for this boy to be healthy, to be healed, and this boy to serve him. I went to a young man that was dying of cancer. I was young and I felt the anointing of the Lord move on me. And I said, if God heals you, I said, will you give your life to him and serve him? Boy said, sure, I will. And I said, well, so be it. Amen. And we prayed. The little boy was healed. The doctors gave up. The specialist in San Francisco, some of the finest doctors in all of the country of the United States was there. And they said, we can't operate. It'll kill him. But he's alive. You know, what? Do I know what he's doing now? I have no idea. But I know the Lord moved. Amen. But this young fellow, also Sam's dad, they're not sure. They said it looks like stroke symptoms, but no doctors have identified that. They said it could have been sugar. One of the checks came back on the sugar and said it was okay, but they thought maybe he was low in sugar. There's physical complications there. Sam's mother called me this afternoon, and we need to hold Brother Stan up in prayer. Here's the needs, brother. Sisters, there's needs all around. You know, I spoke with a man today, and I broke up on the phone, just started weeping before the Lord. The man, he loves me, but I won't allow him to come to church. I said, man, I'm sorry. I love you. You're my friend. You know, there's things got to be in order. And he understands. You know, things have happened. Yes, his family, one of his you know, wife goes off into adultery and different things and such. And I'm sorry for those things, but they're still in order. I find myself in difficult places. trying to keep in order. I've asked numerous people to leave this church. Most of you don't always know about it. I ran into a man not too many days back that I asked to leave here. And you say, why would you ask somebody to leave here? Well, I could go into a lot of things here, but I'm not going to. I choose not to. There's many things in my heart, many things in my spirit, many things that God has showed me that I could share with you tonight. But I got to find the will and the mind of God, because there's things that God shows me that are maybe overwhelming for some, because sometimes they're too overwhelming for me. And I got to find myself travailing before the Lord. A lot of times when you're asleep, you know, I find myself pleading with the Lord about things. He helps me. He winks on my ignorance, and He's helped me. He's called me to an accountability for many things, and I'm asking Him to be merciful and help me. But nevertheless, with all of my ignorance and all of my foolishness, God helps me, and He's called me and anointed me. And I got to be careful what I speak, and that's why sometimes I refrain from even ministering, because I know even with my foolishness, I listened to a message today of Brother George, or yesterday, my wife and I, and a man came by and was firing on Red McKinney and J.T. Parnell. Brother George wouldn't allow either one of those men behind his sacred desk, but he said they were God's anointing. He said, you don't do that. And he offered exhortation to the man. He said, you know what? He said, this is worse what you're doing. He said, this is worse what you're doing. He said, those are God's anointed men. They're God's anointed. And he said, this is worse. And misfortunes happened to that individual right promptly as he shared it in the message. You know, and I think, Lord, and I remember him offering exhortation to me to be careful what I speak. And I try to, brethren. I honestly do. I'm drawn up in my spirit because I prophesied from the sacred desk here about a death. And I've been troubled, lost many, many hours of sleep, pushed away many meals and fast before the Lord. And I'm thinking, oh my. You say, well, nevertheless, you've done spoke that, Brother Ron. Nevertheless, it troubles me. I don't want to trouble you. I don't want to trouble you. But we're in a day and hour right now of a lot of things that are taking place with wonderful people, good people. Demon spirits are real. They come to you. They perplex you. They take your mind. They'll take your thoughts. They'll take your voice. They'll take your will. And we got to recognize the power of Satan. You know, I wish I could say that I lived in such a place. But as Brother Pike expressed even his own self, he told a man one time, he said, well, the things that you're dealing with, he said, multiply that by 1,000 and you'll find the things that I deal with. You know, and you're thinking, wow, that can't be, but it is that way. It's like Brother Gabriel said tonight. He said, you know, and I've made the statement myself, the closer you get sometimes, the farther away you seem. The more you press, sometimes the harder it seems to be. But that's Satan. He don't want you to cross. He don't want you to make it. He don't want you to push in. We need one another, brothers and sisters. We need one another. We need to labor together. We need to make up our mind. And we're going to strive together, push together, pull together. We need one another more right now than there's ever been any time that I know of in history of things that are laying for this nation. You know, you think, well, this church don't mean much. You know, it just... little drop in the bucket, you ain't done nothing, you ain't going to do nothing, this and that. But I'll tell you one thing, this thing plays a very significant role. I could take you and play you 50 messages of Brother Pike's, and he's preaching over here in Manchester, and then he's preaching over here in Jeffersonville, and then he's preaching over here in Macon, and then he's preaching over here, and he said, this is a great significance. And when he sent me here, he told me the great significance of what this little work is. And it may not mean anything to anybody, and that's okay. And I've stumbled around and this and that. But I'll tell you what, there is a great significance of what's taking place in the overall plan of God and salvation. And this place is a refuge. And it does have boundaries. And there's boundaries. If you go and study and read about the refuge in the Old Testament and these places, these people, if they would stay within the refuge of the boundaries of the refuge, their life would be spared. But when they stepped outside the boundaries of it, their life was not spared and they would lose their life. That may not make sense to you. But it's most definitely that way. But we come into the altars not to burden you, but to pray. And you know, we get these reports, Brother Stan over here. We get the reports of this little young man named Zachary. I could go into some prayer requests of things and calls and different things. It goes into personalities and people and different things. And I see the Lord moving. I see the Lord helping. I see the Lord mending. I see God reconciling and restoring. And I see Him also cutting off and removing. And it's just that day and hour that we're in. There's going to be some very alarming things. And we better get strength to endure it and to hold on. Make up our mind. Brother Randall Smith used to say all the time, he said, all you got to do is make up your mind. All you got to do is make up your mind. And that's what we got to do. We got to make up our mind. You know, that's what we all need to do. We all need to guard over our spirits, tighten in, pull in together, help one another, encourage one another, edify one another, exhort one another as we see the day approaching. Let's pray together. Let's let our hearts touch the Spirit of God for this young man. Because if this young man doesn't have faith, where's it going to come from? Where's this faith going to come from tonight for this young fella? Where's it going to be? Is God looking at you? Is he leaning on you? Is this my responsibility because I'm the pastor? Do you, as a son of God or a Christian, do you not have the responsibility to feel the infirmities of others and to feel the pain of others and things? And maybe you've never been there. I've been there numerous times over my life in the years. I shared with you when the doctors walked out and the doctor was crying and the nurse was crying and said, your daughter's got a 20% chance to live, speaking of Kimberly. I think they said 20% because they were trying to give me a little bit of hope instead of just saying she won. I think he was trying to ease. I think they'd gave up. They truly did. How many times have you seen a doctor and a nurse walk out of a little room and crying? I've never seen that before. And I'll tell you what it did. It dropped me to my knees. I got on the phone and I started calling ministers and I had some tightening up to do, some things to consider and things to do. What about you? Is God a respecter of person? If he brings that kind of chastening to me, you're a minister. He's going to, maybe so. But I could see what's coming to a nation and a land and a people. Not trying to weight you, but I'm just talking about the sobriety, soberness that we need to take and look and see. Sometimes the allowances that we make for things, and they haunt us later. And we see them later and think, my, I wished I never would have done that. But that's behind us. There's things that I might wish I'd never done, you might wish you'd never done. And thank God for the grace of God and the mercies of God. I need it, but I don't want to trample it and take it to lasciviousness. We got to go on. We got to press and push and strive for the mark. Where do we quit fighting this fight? Where do we give up? Where do we say, it's no good, ain't going to make it. This old boy in the hospital said, I ain't going to make it. I'm tired of fighting. When do preachers say, I'm tired of fighting? I remember when I first came up here, the first 2 weeks I was here, I went over and was working in a boy's house, young man's house, and his dad was a pastor, and he took a gun to his head and blew his brains out. He said, I can't do it no more. Why would you say something like that, Brother Rob? Well, I'm not there, I promise. I'm not there, but I'll tell you what, it gets weary sometimes, and you can. And I know the Bible says for us not to get weary and well doing. I know what the Bible says, but we still to get there, brethren. There's a lot of things the Bible says. We could talk about the positive aspects of the Word of God, but we're in a travail and we're in a fight. We're in a warfare, a continual pressing and struggling. And we will get weary in our fight unless we call on the Holy Ghost and the power of God to pick us up and to go. He'll allow us and he'll remind us the weakness. He'll bring us to humility. He'll humble us. He most definitely will humble us. Amen. Without humility, you'll never know God nor see God. God will humble you. You could seek to humble or he will humble you. Amen. And we need humility, brothers and sisters. We need it very much so. We got to find that. But here we are standing here tonight with a young man named Zachary being weighed in the balances tonight. Touch and go situation. My heart goes out, I'm telling you. Can we make a contact tonight to the throne of God? Are you there? Are you dependent on me, looking at me? Well, preacher, you're the preacher. Hey, I've made contact so many times, and man, God's merciful, and I've seen him move and spare lives. But I'm asking you right now, do you feel you're standing in these altars out of obedience tonight, or are you here feeling the infirmity of this young boy? You know, what if it was one of our little boys? I don't even know this boy, and that doesn't matter. I don't know what national, I don't know if he's an American or if he's an African or if he's a Indonesian. I don't have no idea, but I know that this little boy is being weighed in the balance right now, this young fella. How old is he? 15? Somebody's got expectations because they've called for prayer numerous times. Stephanie said that they called, I think, the aunt today, this individual's aunt. Oh, okay, we'll pray. All right. Lord, bless our food and bless this little guy, and we go on. But somewhere we need to feel this in our spirit and make a contact with the Spirit of God. You know, Jesus wept when he got the report of Lazarus. You know, he wept and it touched the heavens because he felt the infirmities of the pain of his sisters that were coming to him. He felt the pain of that thing. And you know, we could be so guilty of hearing prayer requests and saying, oh, okay, we'll pray. But you know, we need to have a fervent prayer. One that touches and feels the infirmities and knows how to pray. Some of us have been through mishaps and misfortunes and things. And sometimes we have compassion and mercy for people where other people don't. They just look at it, you know, and judge it with a self-righteousness. And well, that's so be it. That's what they deserve. But you know what? Sometimes you've been there. Sometimes you've been the one in the fall. Sometimes you've been the one that needed mercy and compassion. Sometimes maybe you were the one that you needed people to really show mercy and forgiveness, and then you could pray differently. So what is the Lord allowing us? See, we could submit again to humility, or we could be humbled. I want to submit to humility. I want to submit to the infirmities of others and the needs of others. I want to feel it in my spirit when these prayer requests come and take it to heart and say, you know what? And no, maybe you've never been a parent and maybe lost a young child. A young boy, maybe you won't ever have to deal with that. But here's a parent that's maybe facing that, that could be facing that. God could intervene. God could move. God could touch. Is he hearing us? We could go to the scriptures. I know that God hears our prayer. But why is it that some were moved and we see the Spirit of God moved by some and others he wasn't moved at all? Why did some make it through and other ones didn't? Think about that. You know, am I trying to put unbelief in you? No, I'm trying to say that there's some that made it and pressed through and they made a contact. And they made a contact with the throne of God. And sometimes it takes much. I remember Brother Pike talking at different times saying, you know what, I had to stay on my knees all night long and the next day and into the next night to make a contact, to break through on this circumstance or situation. And it was because of his travail and perseverance that he stayed through that God said, okay, I'm going to go ahead and do this for you again. Have we done that? Have you ever prayed for people that don't really seem to care their own self? They just kind of go on through life in such a lascivious way, in such a way that, well, you know, so be it. And they don't even seem to be concerned for their own soul and their own lives. And then yet you find yourself burdened praying. I remember hearing a little story, and we're going to pray here in a moment. I remember the story, and if it's just something that somebody wrote as an allegory, I don't know. But it was a father that his little son, and he was a train track switcher. And his little son ran out on the track, and here's the train barreling down. And he could have switched the track and killed everybody in the train. And it would have spared his son's life. But his son ran on a track, and the guy didn't do it. And he watched his little son, little young boy, get ran over and dragged to death by this train. And he's looking at the windows of the people go by, and they're drinking and partying and just having a good time. Not even aware that there was a man that made a decision to sacrifice his own son that they could have life as they were going on through. You know, I know we could take that to the story of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I think about what Jesus done for me and for you and for all of us. I think about how merciful he was when they were nailing him to a cross, and he says, forgive them, they don't know what they do. You know, we could look at that as a 2,000-year-old story, but we're doing the same thing today. So many times we're crucifying the Lord Jesus Christ afresh, and he's still doing the same thing today, saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. Think how much fault they found with Jesus when he walked among them. Well, you're just a wine bibber. You know, they made allegations. John the Baptist come, he didn't drink, and you found fault with him. I come and drink with you, and you find fault with me. You know, is what the reply on some of those things. So we got to find the will and the mind of God. I need mercy. You need mercy. We need mercy. We need to love, to help, to exhort, encourage, edify, and walk, and lead, and show. I want to be an example of Christianity and Christ. Yes, I failed, but help me. Pray for me that I could be better an example to the brotherhood, to the Christian people, to the communities. The communities are in trouble. The churches of America are in trouble. The pastors are in trouble. The allowances that are being made, you know, are just so far beyond any kind of concept of reasoning at all. So here's a young boy in the hospital in a deathly situation. Is he out of luck because there's nobody worthy to pray? Is he doomed to hell or doomed to death or doomed to shorten the number of days because there's nobody worthy to go to the throne of God? Am I worthy? Are you worthy? The Bible said a righteous man's of prayers availeth much. Where does this righteousness come from? Am I dependent upon my righteousness as filthy rags? Or am I dependent on the righteousness of Christ? Where do we find this dividing line at? Where do we find this discernment at? Where do we find that we have access to the throne of God? Are we seeking this by our goodness? And then when we realize it's by the grace of God, so then do we take and trample the grace under our feet? We've all been guilty. We've all taken advantage of the mercy and the grace of God. I don't have one man or woman standing in here that can't say that. Every one of us have. Why? Is he just shown his mercy and his kindness to you and I? when we do this? Is that what he's for? Is that what he's doing? Well, he sure has. He most definitely has. Let's pray together. I want you, brethren, to really pray with me in this situation. And let's believe and let's trust. Most gracious Father, Father, we know none of us are worthy, Lord God, to stand before you. But Father God, through the righteousness of Christ and through the labors and the efforts of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary, and by the authority and the power that he has granted unto us as the sons of God and the children of God, Father, we stand here this evening, Lord God, beckoning, Lord God, and coming boldly to the throne of grace, Lord God, through the righteousness of Christ and through the works and the labors that he has done. And Father God, we ask you right now, Lord God, Father God, we ask you right now in the name of the Lord Jesus to go forth into this young boy's room right now. Lord God, we ask you, Lord God, to move in his behalf right now, Father God. These infections that they're speaking about in wherever it may be, Lord God, this infirmity's there, Father God, we ask you right now to remove this. Father, as we prayed and asked you to bring that blood count up, and it came up so rapidly, Lord God. And Father, we're asking you right now to remove this infection right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord God. Father, remove this infection from this young man that he could be made whole and well, Father. We ask you to encourage his heart and his mind and his thoughts that he could look up and say, you know what, I'm going to fight, I am going to live, and I am going to make it. Father, help him, Lord God. Strengthen him and anoint him, Lord God, and let him look the enemy in the eye of death and let him know that he has been abolished and that he can conquer this death sentence, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, as we get the reports of our friend, Brother Stan, Lord God, oh Lord, knowing that this complication, Lord God, and this problem in his fleshly body, Lord God, we're asking to intervene, Lord. They say it sounds like a stroke. Oh God, we ask you to mend, to heal, to touch, to make whole, to make well, Father God. Strengthen him, help him, Lord God. Oh, Father, we know, Lord God, that you're merciful and long-suffering, Almighty God, and that you can add strength and life to him, most gracious Father. I remember you touching him when he was here on this platform, Lord God, and life came back into his feet, Almighty God. And Father, we're asking you to move right now on his behalf and touch his physical body, Lord God, and help him, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord God, we all have burdens upon our heart, Lord. We see peoples and lives and things failing and things coming to naught, Lord God, some being cut off, some being added in, Father. We see things happening so rapidly before us. Help us, Jesus. Father, let us take these things to heart. And Father, let us find ourselves, Father God, pressing like we've never pressed before. We thank you for your grace, and we thank you for a place of refuge, Lord God, and we thank you for showing us the boundaries, Lord God. And Father, we ask you to help us to walk therein. Father, help us, lead us, direct us, guide us. Lord, let us strengthen one another, Father. Let us work with one another, unite with one another, strengthen one another, Father. I need brethren that'll strengthen my hands, Lord, and pray with me and help me, Lord God. If we could unify together, Father God, and be strong. We love you, Lord Jesus, and we thank you. We praise you, Lord God, and we expect to hear a testimony back of these prayers, Lord God. And I thank you for people that have touched you tonight, Lord God. I thank you, Lord, that you've heard our prayers. I thank you, Lord God, that we've made it through, Lord God. And I thank you for hearing. Help us, Lord. Anoint us, empower us, strengthen us. In the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, brothers and sisters, there's a great time of fellowship with a brotherhood. We know we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. That's something that's easy for me to do. I don't struggle with that. I love people. Sometimes people question the love I have because of sometimes things and decisions I have to make. But I know that I love the brethren. There's not a doubt in my mind. I love the brethren. Amen. The Lord won't allow me to share some of the things that he has showed me. And he won't allow me to share some of the things. And I'm afraid to speak some of the things that he's shown me because I know then for sure it comes to pass. But I'm going to keep praying and keep believing and keep trusting. Keep praying, keep believing, and keep trusting. And I'm not going to get in God's way. I've been there. I've been in his way before. It's not a good place to be. Have you ever been there? Maybe you don't think you ever have. And the only difference between you and I is that maybe I did, was granted the ability to see it. I know so many people are blind, and some think that they're not. The ones when Jesus was speaking to didn't feel like they were blind. And sometimes we could think we see, and we're ever so blind in intellectual darkness. I've been there. I don't want to ever be there ever again in my life. You see, when Brother Pike made a statement, he said, I want to stay full of the Holy Ghost. There was a very powerful statement in a thing like that. He could be talking about the anointing he walked in today. He could talk about the prayers he was in that day. He could talk about the things that was happening so blessed that day. But he had to stay there. And sometimes we get guilty. We'll arrive into a place and we'll find the anointing, the power, the strength, the virtue of the Lord. We find the mind of the Lord. And then the next day, we walk on that. You like eat a big meal and you walk in a place of satisfaction. Hey, man, we need to stay there. Woe unto you given to change. Have you been given to change? Have you had ups and downs and highs and lows, ins and outs? See, woe unto you and woe unto me. But let's get to that place that when we hear prayer requests like this, that there's something in our spirit automatically. And you think, oh my. You know, and it just moves you in your spirit. And that moves the Spirit of God. And then He moves in our behalf. And He helps us. Let's pray again. Most gracious Father, I ask You to honor our fellowship tonight, Father God, as we come together as a brotherhood. Father, knowing that some aren't here. Sister Carol today had, I know, an eye surgery. And Father, we ask You to help her and let her recover promptly from this thing, Father, as this thing appeared promptly. And Lord God, and You moved in her behalf, Father. But Lord God, we ask You to help her and be with her. Father, anoint this time of fellowship tonight. Let it be rich and pure and godly and clean. Lord, let us edify one another and encourage one another in the gospel of Christ, Lord. And let us assure one another the need that we have for each other. Lord God, we know that divided we fall and united, Lord God, not speaking as a nation, but speaking as a brotherhood, Lord God, knowing that we could stand up against the wiles of the enemy. Father, we love You and we thank You. We praise You in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.